so if you're visiting this week, you came in on a part two. But that's okay. Part one is on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, or you can go into the app. Finally, they were able to fix that so that you can direct link to that. But if you're visiting and you're like, oh, part two, I'm going to be lost, you won't be lost. So quick recap. Basically, last week, the conclusion that, I don't want to say that we came to, that to me is very clear in Scripture, is that the new covenant, if you did not know this, you are new covenant Christians. If you're like, I didn't know that, if you're an old covenant Christian, that's bad. Old covenant was for actually just the Jews. We as Gentiles were brought into the new covenant. Also, the old covenant, the whole purpose of the law was to show us that we stink. And we did a great job of stinking it up. So do not be an old covenant Christian. What does old covenant Christian means? It means we do not follow the law. There is actually a scripture that the Bible talks about. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is so important. And many of you that go here going, I know this. I've heard this 100 times. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are people out there that say that they are Christians, but they still believe that you need to keep the Ten Commandments. They still believe that you need to meet on the Sabbath. They still believe that you need to eat certain kinds of foods. That was all under the law. There are so many scriptures. How many of you know the story where Peter's praying and he falls into a trance, and there's this great, it's a sheet that is brought down with all of these animals on it. And Jesus says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean in my life. And he says, do not call unclean what the Lord has cleansed. Now, on its surface, we'd be like, praise God, he cleansed steak and shrimp, and you just start throwing out hamburgers and all of that. Praise God. But it's also a picture of what he's getting ready for Peter to do, is to say that Gentiles, which are non-Jews, were unclean. But through Jesus Christ, and even prophetically through the rejection of Jesus by his own people, the Jews, we were grafted in. The Bible talks about we were the wild olive tree, that the Jews were the cultivated olive tree, and we were grafted in. So we were never under the law as Gentiles. We are new covenant Christians. So even when people say, well, yeah, we're new covenant, but you got to keep the Ten Commandments, that's wrong. There's nowhere in the Bible that we're commanded to keep the Ten Commandments, but we are commanded to love each other exactly as Jesus loved us. So which one actually seems like a harder thing to do? To love others as Jesus loved us. So in the new covenant, there is a higher expectation. Jesus set this up in his transitional time of teaching. He would say things like, do not murder, right? But he says, but listen, if you hate your brother in your heart, it's like you've committed the murder. That's the new covenant. The Bible talks about how the old law, we were not to commit sexual immorality. In the new covenant, it says, if you even have lustful thoughts for someone, it's like you've committed the act. Why is he saying this? Because we need a Savior. We need a Savior. So I'm saying all of that, again, to say that you're a new covenant Christian. What does that mean? The law has been fulfilled by Jesus in his blood, right? He never broke any of the commandments. He died on the cross. He took our place so we could take his place. But what people don't understand many times, and again, this is what we covered last week, is that when you say, what is the new covenant? People say, Jesus dying on the cross. Well, that was part of it. His blood sacrifice was to usher in a covenant. In the old covenant, there was blood that ushered in the old covenant. It was the blood of animals, and the whole congregation of Israel had to be sprinkled with that blood. But then something had to be given. So what was given under the old covenant? The law, right? You've seen in the Bible movies, Moses comes down with these giant stones that have Ten Commandments on them. But then there's also all of the Levitical laws. There's approximately, I think, 613 laws. But the new covenant is not the death of Christ. That ushers in the new covenant. What was given after Jesus died, he rose from the dead, went back to heaven. Then what was given to us? Anybody know? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new covenant. Now, that was one of the points that was made. This week, we're going to look at scripture that's going to really solidify this. It's important to understand that because, again, I don't know about you. I've met a lot of Christians that believe in the resurrected Christ, to believe that we should try to live right, be like Jesus, and those kinds of things. But the Holy Spirit in most churches is not talked about. And that's not condemnation. That's not saying Seven Mountains is better than them. But it's important to understand that the Spirit should be the emphasis. That does not mean take it away from Jesus, because guess what? If Jesus did not die, then the Holy Spirit couldn't be given. Remember, he said, if I don't go to the Father, then the Father will not send the Spirit. So the only reason that we can receive the Holy Spirit is because of Jesus. So putting emphasis on the Spirit does not actually detract from Jesus, and we're going to actually see by emphasizing the Spirit, we actually emphasize Jesus. Are you excited? I'm excited. I always get excited about the Word. So let's jump right into it. It's like, what is he talking about? We're going to see it in Scripture together. So you can go ahead and put it up. I only have one slide, but see, there's a lot of Scriptures that we're going to cover. So if you have your physical Bibles, your phones, your tablets, we are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 6, so we're just going to go today line upon line, and we're going to see what the scripture tells us. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, his second letter. Actually, let's back up and start in verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. So, in this life, you being of yourself is not good enough. If you've been coming here for a while, you know, because we talk about dying to self here a lot. If you're visiting with us, dying to self does not mean go home and kill yourself. Dying to self means your wants, your needs, your desires. The Christian life many times is portrayed of, I'm going to live my life and then I'm going to receive Jesus and I want to incorporate Jesus into my life. That's wrong. Cliff mentioned water baptism. The reason water baptism is so important is because the Bible talks about, that's how you understand what is happening. It says, we are buried with Christ through baptism. It's not about training your flesh. You cannot do that. That was proven time and time again in the Old Covenant. Your calling in the New Covenant is to die. That's what the goal is. You die and receive the life of Christ so there now it's no longer you or I live, but Christ in us. 1 John 2:6 says, if you abide in Jesus, you ought to live your life just as he lived his. But again, we emphasize this here because most churches say, get Jesus so you don't go to hell. Try to live a good life. Try to be a good parent. Try to be a good child. Try to be a good sibling. Instead of going, you can't do this on your own. You need to die to yourself and allow Christ to shine through you. Right, young people? They're nodding at me. It's important, and it's important that these young people learn it at a young age because I'm sure many of you would agree with me, and I include myself in this. I include my actual blood family that is in Kansas. Is a lot of this stuff we didn't learn until later. And I'm a pastor's kid. My dad will tell you at his Bible college, he didn't learn any of this. There was no emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and yet it's all over Scripture. But the whole Christian walk is when you go into this baptism, you die, the Bible says you were crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, you died with Christ, you were raised with Christ into new life. And so when you go in here to die, make sure you leave you in here. And when you walk out, you're walking like Jesus. And people say, you can't live that way. Are you talking about perfection? And we need to not even have those conversations. All we need to do is say, what does the Bible say? That's truth. And if the Bible tells me that if I would die to myself and live by the Spirit, that I can walk as Jesus walked, then I'm at a crossroads. I either believe that or I don't. But then the moment we start believing things, or let me say it like this, the moment we start picking and choosing what we believe in the Bible, you might as well just throw the whole thing away, because either it's true or it's not. Could you imagine if every Christian just understood the whole point of water baptism, of being born again, is for me to die to me and to live for Christ? What a different world we would live in. So our adequacy doesn't come from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants or ministers of a new covenant. So God has put his stamp of approval on you to minister the new covenant. He did not put his stamp of approval on you to minister the old covenant. So what does he do? Through Jesus, he's made you right with God, right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not about trying to live right every single day because you might lose your righteousness, gain your righteousness back. That is sin consciousness. We've talked about this before. The Bible said that we should have no more consciousness of sin. That doesn't mean that sin doesn't exist. It means that I keep my eye on Jesus instead of trying to focus on how to stop sinning. If you just keep your eye on Jesus, how did Jesus do that? Oh, I'm going to do that. How did Jesus do that? I'm going to do that. And you're more interested in getting to follow and know your Savior more. You're not even going to think about sinning. But we have it backwards in the church. Is try to live a good life, you know. Make sure that you don't do this. That's the law. The new covenant is, I am going to pour forth my Spirit on all flesh. You will receive that Spirit and you will walk as I walked. People ask me all the time if I have a life verse. I always say I have a life chapter. I love the high priestly prayer in John 17. But now I've picked my life verse because I wanted to pick a verse that doesn't beat around the bush in how we're supposed to live, which is Ephesians 5:1, which says, be imitators of God. So if the standard was, well, I'm going to try to be like Jesus. No, the Bible actually commands you to be an imitator of God. As loved children. So many times we don't imitate God because we don't know how loved by the Father that we are. So it's understanding how loved you are is how you will imitate God. So young people, know that you are so radically loved by God and you're going to live like him. It says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. That means conduct every single day of your life in love, just as Jesus loved us and died for us. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple, right? Be led by the Spirit and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. If someone's like, well, there's no way that I could never sin. Not true. If you are always led by the Spirit, you will not sin. That's what the Bible says. It's not about, well, I don't agree with you, Pastor Josh. Well, take it up with God because he wrote it. It's in his book. If you are led by the Spirit, it says you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Oh, we're only in like the second verse. We got to move along. Okay, so right, he's stamped your approval. God has called you his children, his beloved, and he has put his stamp of approval on you to minister the new covenant. And what is the new covenant? Love one another. Yes, all that's true, but what's the title of the message? The new covenant is the Spirit. So we need to re-emphasize what the church has de-emphasized. Let me say that again. We need to re-emphasize what the church has de-emphasized. We need to emphasize the Spirit, because he says that's what we're ministers of, a new covenant. Now, with the Spirit, right, is part of the Trinity, Jesus and the Father. We know that the Bible says that God is love. So when you gave the answer of we need to love others, that's the new covenant command, love others as I have loved you. The Spirit should minister that to you constantly if he lives on the inside of you. Because not only does he say we should love, it's he is love. So if he is love and you identify with him, then you are love. So we're servants or ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter. What's he talking about? Not the law. And again, apparently this verse needs to be highlighted and sent to a bunch of people, because there are Christians that preach the Ten Commandments. They think you need to live that way. They look in places like Deuteronomy and Leviticus on how to handle life situations. That's wrong, 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 wrong. You want to know how to handle the situation? Love one another. What do I do about people who oppose me and persecute me and make fun of me? Love them. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So we're ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, look, the letter kills and it's the ministry of death. And people are like, well, then why in the world did God give us the old covenant? Because it was given to an imperfect people. You need to understand that the law was perfect. If we could perfectly keep the law, then we would have lived in harmony. But the point is, the law was given to show us that we were imperfect. And so therefore the law became condemnation to us. The ministry of death and letters engraved on stones, verse 7, if it came with glory, which it did, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was. Now, it's going to highlight this again later. Moses would go up onto the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and when he came down, he was glowing. And so he had to put a veil over his face. And many times people assume, well, he had to put a veil over his face because, you know, it was like, bright light, bright light. No, it was not because of that. He had to put a veil over his face because his face would begin to fade. And we don't want to see the glory of God fading. That's why it says that he had to do that, because the law was going to be a temporary glory. And it's going to highlight that later in the text. Because it says he could not look intently on the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? So he's saying, look, the law was glorious. So much so that Moses came off the mountain beaming with light. And it was temporary. It was a lesser glory. How much more the glory of this never-fading light that lives on the inside of the believer who has received the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says that God is light and that we should walk in the light as he is in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then what did he say after that? You are the light of the world. Now we could say, well, he's speaking metaphorically. He wasn't. Because when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, it says, you know, basically everything about his flesh came off and they could see his glory, and he's full of light. When you read in Revelation what the Son of Man looks like, meaning Jesus, he looks like light. And if we identify with Christ and we come out of darkness into his marvelous light, we are now full of light. You even hear about in near-death experience testimonies about when people lift off their body, that they're drawn to this greater light, but then when they look down, their bodies are made of light. So it's not metaphor, it's the truth. On the inside of you is the light of God. And we should never take that for granted. Verse 9, For if the ministry of condemnation has glory. Interesting. Ministry of condemnation has glory. Again, it has glory, but it's condemnation because we were imperfect. For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. You being righteous before God will never change unless you reject Jesus. Because if you identify with Jesus, one day when we stand before the Father, He's going to see us as we are, just like Jesus. The Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 3 that when Jesus returns, it says we don't know yet what we're going to look like, right? Because we can't see on the inside of us. We don't have our new bodies. But when Jesus returns and we see Him, it says we will become like Him. And it says that's where our faith is. That's where our hope is. That's where our expectation is. So you may not feel righteous, but you got it. Say it. Who cares how you feel? It's not about your feelings. If your feelings do not line up with the Word of God, get rid of them. Right? Now, we have been given feelings, but I've said this before. I heard a pastor say this, and I'm like, this makes so much sense. I'm going to say it all the time now because it was from the Holy Spirit. Now I'm stealing it from that guy because he got it from the Holy Spirit. Is that when people say, my feelings matter. Listen, your feelings are from fallen Adam. You need to understand that because I hear people say all the time, well, God gave me feelings. What are you telling me not to feel? God gave you feelings, but because of the fall, your feelings have been twisted. Now, if you're following the Spirit, your feelings can line up with that, but you are not guided by your feelings because your feelings are part of the carnal fall, right? We have a whole generation that are led by feelings. And look where we are now. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane. And it's not, and it's not just this. It's not just, hey, leave me alone. I feel this way. It's I feel this way, and I want you to acknowledge my feelings, even though if they are completely wrong, if it's not reality, you need to acknowledge my feelings, or I'm going to figure out a way to get you fired, get you canceled, etc. That means that the days that were prophesied that we're in, we were becoming so carnal, so fleshly, so feeling-driven, so I've got to feed this flesh every moment that I can get. We are moving in the opposite direction of the Spirit. That's why we must minister the new covenant Spirit. Some of you may know Christians that are professed Christians. They got water baptized. They say they believe in Jesus, but in their lives, they are falling apart. Do you know that that's not in Scripture? The Bible talks about when situations coming your way, because you have the Spirit, you won't fall apart. And again, people are like, well, you can't live that way. You got to understand this. I had a situation that, and as I was talking with somebody earlier, listen, I'm not following that. I'm following Christ. I'm not following other Christians. I'm not following other people that have fallen. I'm not following my feelings. I'm following Jesus. I don't see Jesus complaining about his day. I don't see Jesus talking about how he constantly needs ministry because he's falling apart. And then somebody would say, well, you're not Jesus. And I'm like, I didn't say it. The Bible said it. As he is, so are we in this world. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in the light as he's in the light. If you say you remain in Jesus, you must walk as he walks. Those, every single thing I just gave you is Scripture. So we need to get out of this mindset of, I'm not Jesus. Well, if you don't want to be like Jesus, then just fall apart. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. The sensitivity thing is what is getting people killed. Put your arm around someone when they're falling apart. Hug them for 30 seconds, but then give them truth. Because only the truth will make them free. But we have counseling and we have grieving sessions and it's all this, and it's to perpetuate feelings. Brothers and sisters, I see that nowhere in Scripture. The Bible does say, mourn with those who mourn, right? But mourning is for a time. It doesn't say, be depressed with those who are depressed. It says, set them free. If you are in depression, you are a captive and you don't even know it. We're learning some hard stuff, but like I said, this is what the church needs. We have to be a strong church. There's so much bad stuff going on in the world. There's so much bad stuff coming from pulpits that, again, people are like, well, you know, just get on medication. Just do this. Just do this. Just do this. Well, you're always going to feel this way. It's okay. We acknowledge your feelings. No, we are to be a people who are led by the Holy Spirit. My model is Jesus Christ. That's who I'm following. Have I done it perfectly? No, but I will never stop seeking to follow my teacher, my master, and my Lord, and my Savior. Because he told me to follow him. He didn't say, acknowledge my name so you can go to heaven. James deals with this. He says, do you believe that there is one God? Actually, the phrase is, you do well. That doesn't seem to translate well. But like, hey, you guys believe in one God? Whoop-de-doo. Demons believe that and tremble. So it's not about acknowledging the risen Christ. It's about knowing him, becoming like him. Because in the spirit, you're already identical with him. This is good, isn't it? Man, if we just like talked like this all the time, we would just be so happy. There would no be sad sack resting face anymore. We say that to my daughter. Well, she's got a smile on her face right now, so it doesn't count. But she'll just be like sitting kind of zoned out. I'm like, why are you so sad? She's like, Daddy, this is my resting face. I'm like, oh, so you have sad sack resting face. We should be happy meal resting face. Don't be a sad sack, be a happy meal. And all the anti-McDonald's people said, all right, I got to move on before the spirit lifts off and we just start dogging on McDonald's. Okay, so what indeed, verse 10, for indeed what had glory in this case has no glory. The law had glory, but in this case now it what? Has no glory. So why is the church trying to re-glorify it? And it says why it has no glory, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, so again, it's not saying the law wasn't glorious, but it's faded away because of the surpassing glory. Much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, now remember, whenever we see therefore, you always have to look at the text above it, which we just read, right? We're adequate ministers made righteous of the new covenant spirit. We're to walk in love, be like Jesus, imitate God, all of those things, right? Again, simple. Focus on love. Be like God. Be like Jesus. Simple. Maybe not easy because we're encased in this fallen flesh, but we know what the answer is when people say, well, what is the Christian life like? Die to self, become light and love, and shine. That's it. Be like Jesus. Like some of our, not all of our shirts, but some of our merch, like on the back, it just says, be like Jesus. That's what it is. Your bracelets, what would Jesus do? That's genius, because it really is. What would Jesus do? Because I'm following Jesus. So therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. Now, here's what I was talking about before. Who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. So he put a veil over his face because they would see the glory begin to fade. And you know the Israelites were quirky people anyway, right? It was like, Lord, we need bread. And he makes bread appear. And then they eat it for a while and they're like, we loathe this worthless bread. Quail falls from the sky. Meat. Man, we got to eat this quail every day. Lord, we're thirsty. They come to an area and they throw a tree in there to make the water good and they drink. But how many times? It would have been better to be a slave in Egypt. So I say all of that to say, they probably would have taken it negatively to see the glow of Moses begin to fade, because they'd be like, oh no, it's fading. Does that mean God is leaving us? Has Moses become weak? Because they're always thinking negatively instead of always yearning to trust the Lord. So he put a veil over his face so they would not look intently at the end of what was fading. Verse 14. But their minds were hardened. What other things does the Bible talk about that prevents us from being close with God that is hardened? Heart. So mind, hardened minds, hardened hearts. Hardened minds and hardened hearts prevent faith. Jesus talks about that we're in there, that after he fed the 5,000, anybody know how many baskets they took up? 12, very good, 12. So they said, gather the fragments so that nothing goes to waste. And then they get in a boat. I don't know how big these boats are, but I'm imagining these 12 disciples are all sitting here with miracle bread in between their legs or on their laps. And a storm is coming. We're all gonna die. You saw fish and bread for 5,000 men, so including their families, probably like 15,000 people, if not more. And it says that after Jesus quieted the storm, he rebukes them because of their unbelief. I mean, it happened the same day. Pick up the fragments. All right, they're picked up. Jesus, where are we going? Into the boat. We get in the boat. The storm comes. Ah, we're going to die. That's how quickly faith leaves. They just saw a miracle. How much more in our own lives? That's why we have healing testimony pages. That's why we want you to share these things. Because the more that we share them and keep our eyes on the glory of God, who he is as the Savior, the healer, our friend, our brother, our Father in heaven, the great God Almighty. As long as we can keep that in the focus, then when all the stuff that the world gets thrown at us, we will not fall. There is no guarantee that God is going to protect you from things in this life. Sorry if you've been told that. The wise builder built his house on the rock. The foolish builder built his house on the sand. It doesn't say that the wise builder prayed, in the name of Jesus, this storm is not going to come against me. The storm came across both of them. But it was the one that built his house on the rock that stood. What is that a picture of? It's saying that God is not going to protect you from life issues that come against everyone. The difference is, because you are led by the Spirit, you will be able to stand in the midst of the storm. All right, let's finish this. So their minds were hardened. Oh, sorry, I wanted to finish the boat thing. So Jesus, after he rebukes them for their unbelief, he says that they said they were not able to understand because their hearts were hardened through the miracle of the loaves. Means they didn't comprehend what happened, so they therefore they weren't prepared for the next thing. If they would have known Jesus multiplied food, there is no way we're going to ever be in peril. We're not going to die with this guy. This guy has a mission. He's with Messiah. Like, I always think of the thing, the best response for the disciples when the storm comes and Jesus is sleeping in the boat, instead of waking him and telling him, wake up, don't you care that we're going to die? If it was like, hey, there's a crazy storm in the natural, it looks like we're all going to die. Messiah is sleeping. We're following Messiah. Let's just lay down and go to sleep with Jesus. We think that that's crazy, right? But if that's what Jesus is doing, why wouldn't we do that? Sometimes following Jesus doesn't seem logical. But I'm not following logic. I'm following Jesus. Okay. So their minds were hardened, verse 14. Let's go on. For until this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. because it is removed in Christ. But, excuse me. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, here's the part I was saying, that we are ministers of the new covenant spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it's not taking the emphasis off Jesus. Look at this, verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom or liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the exact same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So it's, again, it's an identity issue. Understand, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit that descended like a dove on him and stayed on him. Jesus prophesied, we saw this last week, that he said, the Helper will come. He will not just be with you, he will be in you. The new covenant, hear me on this, we did not exchange the old covenant, and our new covenant is the Bible. Understand that. I'm grateful for the Word. I am grateful for the Old Testament. I am grateful for the New Testament. I think you should read the entire thing. I think you should not base life decisions off the Old Testament, because you're not in the Old Covenant, you're in the New Covenant. But I'm saying, I don't want to muddy the waters. I am grateful to that. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't know who Jesus is, and we would not know what the New Covenant Spirit is. But you have to realize the purpose of the Bible is to it's not a hand. It's a finger pointing to Jesus. Jesus dies, ushers in the new covenant, and then he gives us the new covenant spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that, now that you know that, never read your Bible again. But I'm saying the purpose of the new covenant spirit is so that you can talk to him, so you can spend time with him, so that you can understand who he is, so you can understand who you are. Brothers and sisters, I've never heard his audible voice. But I can tell you, in these near-death experiences, some of the testimonies, it says when they meet Jesus, they're not talking audibly, but they can hear each other's thoughts. I believe it without a doubt, because we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that if we would just learn to quiet ourselves, if we would just learn to stop all the social media and the busyness and all of these other things, and just saying, you know what, if you can do this, I mean, you may not be able to jump right to like a whole day, but start to set aside a time, saying, I'm going to go in my bedroom, and for an hour, whatever it is you want to do, put on soaking music and listen. Don't go in there to tell God all your problems. That's what we've turned prayer into. Oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, I need that. I'm not saying that he doesn't care about your needs. He knows about your needs before you even request them. But I'm saying, have you ever gone to God just to say, God, I love you so much. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you that you call me son. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you provide healing for people. Thank you for wanting to know me on a personal level. Thank you for dying for me to usher in the new covenant. Thank you for taking your spirit and putting it on the inside of me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just want to hang out with you. Tell me what you want to tell me. I'll just be quiet and listen. And coming into that approach with prayer, instead of, God, I need this. God, I did this. Can you help my spouse be a better Christian? Can you help my children to be better Christians? Like, come on. It's time that we grow up in the Lord. It's time that we walk by the Spirit. It's time that we realize that he is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we need to get over ourselves, because you're not supposed to be getting over yourselves. You're supposed to be dead. Almost everything that we do, complaining, backbiting, gossiping, talking bad, all of that is all has to do with self. He gave us the Spirit, but we had to die first. Right? You don't get the Spirit and decide to just turn Spirit on and turn Spirit off whenever it suits you. You're supposed to be, the Bible says, be led by the Spirit. That means conduct your everyday life in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, Jesus conducted his everyday life in the Spirit. That means walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6. I mean, every week I told my wife, I'm like, I feel like every week I'm just trying to couch a different way to tell people to die to themselves and become light and love and shine. That's always going to be the message. It's just going to be different scriptures are going to be used different ways. But that's the point. Because if you find out the answer, why go back? If you come to the pinnacle to understand literally the word Christian, which remember I told you I broke up with that word because the word has been completely changed. But back then when it says that the first Christians in the first people in Antioch were called Christians, it meant little Christ-like ones. But Christian today means I go to church a couple times. I might read my Bible every once in a while. I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of struggles. You know, we can't be perfect. You know, I'm just trying to get by. That's what Christian has become today. So I would rather just be disciple. I would rather just follow Jesus. Because I don't see Jesus broke down, depressed, sad, you know. John's walking with him. He's like, can you believe Peter did that again? I'm thinking about cutting him loose. What do you think, John? Like these things that we do to people, Jesus never did. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew it. And he called him anyway. I love Jesus. I want to get there. I'm not there yet. But I want to follow after that because it's something so beautiful that I want in my life. And the great thing is the invitation is open to you all to simply follow him. That's what it was. Follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus said. Follow me. And what we're going to learn the first week on Wednesdays is what those words actually meant in Hebrew, which means come with me, do what I do, say what I say. Because all Jesus is doing is what he sees the Father do, and all he's saying is what he hears the Father say. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. And we are ministers of the new covenant Spirit.